Welcome to Your Odyssey Podcast, where your guides, Tara and Karen, invite you on a transformative journey toward wholeness and personal growth. Each week, we'll discuss topics related to the human experience and offer insights to help you along the way. Please note, this podcast should not replace medical care or advice. We are not licensed healthcare professionals or mental health therapists. If you enjoyed today's episode, subscribe so you don't miss out on our future discussions. So, explorers, let's dive into today's episode. Welcome, explorers, to today's episode. We are honoring the International Day of Peace, which is observed on September 21st each year and is a powerful platform to strengthen the ideals of peace among all nations and people.
Ciao, mi familia. Just wanted to say hi. International Day of Peace. Mm-hmm. Love that.
So the International Day of Peace was established by the United Nations in 1981. It has since become a pivotal force in mobilizing efforts to promote peace and resolve worldwide conflict. Wow, that's really ambitious.
That is ambitious. It really comes down to how we're going to show up in the world.
Ooh.
Each one of us.
The 2024 theme is cultivating a culture of peace. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres stated, "In a world mired by conflict, inequalities, and discrimination, we must strive ever harder to promote dialogue, empathy, and human rights for all."
Yes.
Uh-huh. Amen, brother. Amen. Okay, so we're going to talk a little bit about peace today. First up, I want to offer a few peace fun facts or a timeline of peace, pivotal moments in history.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm so curious for us to discuss what is peace.
Oh, like, we're going to get today.
Like, what are we thinking about peace? Oh. There's many renditions and variations and conceptions about peace. So
yes.
It's all going to happen. It's all happening,
happen.
Explorers. It's happening right here. Yay.
I found three things. I found more than three, but I had to whittle it down to, okay, relax.
Yeah. So she does have 10 pages of research
in front
of her.
It's okay. It was like 20 and I pared it down. The first fun fact about peace is the first known peace movements were spearheaded by the Catholic Church. The Peace of God and the Truce of God were significant peace movements in medieval Europe. The Peace of God, established in 989 A.D., and the Truce of God, established in 1027 A.D., were early attempts to curb the violence and warfare that plagued medieval society. The church was like, we need to relax. But also, the church was the thing that was doing a lot.
I was like, well, when she gives a pause, I'm getting right on in there with, so they were basically saying, we need to stop doing what we've been doing, and we can't force people, and let's just chill out.
These movements were aimed to limit the days and times when nobility could engage in violent activities, such as fighting and warfare.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Can we? What? We had to tell the people, listen, we are getting out of hand.
What?
But because we gonna continue to be out of hand, this is when we can be the most ridiculous.
This is when you can't be out of hand at all.
We gonna take a Sabbath on the wharf time, okay?
Oh my God.
Ridiculous.
As soon as you said Catholic Church, you know what
I believe it
was. I seem to recall lions and whatnot.
They're doing a lot. The Peace of God and the Truce of God represented early steps towards establishing principles and practices that aim to mitigate the impact of warfare on society, laying the foundation for future peace movements and initiatives. Thank you. But y'all were wildin'.
Yeah. Like, it was a nice thought.
I see what you tried to do. I understand and respect
and
it.
Somewhat shocking to me. Who's number two?
Right. That, I feel like, is the most outlandish. So this one is a bit more calming. The Nobel Peace Prize is awarded annually to individuals or organizations who have significantly contributed to promoting peace. The first Nobel Peace Prize was awarded in 1901 to Henry Dunant, a Swiss businessman and social activist, and Frederick Passy, a French economist and peace activist. Henry Dunant was recognized for founding the International Committee of the Red Cross and initiating the Geneva Convention, which established international humanitarian law.
Frederick Passy was honored for his lifelong work as a leading international pacifist and for being one of the founders of the Interparliamentary Union. 1901, first Nobel Peace Prize.
So it was given to two different people?
I think so.
Same year? I believe.
But when I was researching the Nobel Peace Prize, I stumbled down a rabbit hole. There are peace ambassadors or something like that. Charlize Theron is one. Stevie Wonder is one. Yeah. Malala is one. And I was like, how can I self-proclaim?
I'm a peace ambassador. I'm going to be peace ambassador
I would also like to locally be a peace ambassador.
I think you can do that. I think you can elect yourself.
Grassroots organization, vote for Tara for peace.
Yeah, I'd vote for you.
Number three is a little wonky, a little funny. So,
oh boy.
In 1969, John Lennon and Yoko Ono started a bed in for peace.
Yeah, they did the bed in.
Which is peace, a nonviolent protest against the Vietnam War. During their honeymoon, they held 2 week-long bed ins, one in Amsterdam and one in Montreal. During these bed ins, they invited the press into their hotel room to discuss peace and use the publicity to advocate for nonviolent solutions to world issues. During this time, their song, Give Peace a Chance, was also recorded. I could get behind a bed in for peace.
I can get behind being in a bed for anything, any cause. But you want me to go into bed for days on end?
I got it. Yeah. I will sign up for that.
I'm doing it.
Yeah. So first peace movements, Nobel Peace Prize, and a bed in for peace.
I think that's a good progression. That feels good.
Yes.
Wow. There was so much else that happened politically, right?
Absolutely.
Culturally in our country in the 60s, civil rights movement and peaceful protests, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. There's just a million things we could say about that beautiful energy of bringing peace to situations that just really piss you off, that make you so mad because they're so unjust and not righteous.
Mm-hmm.
And to bring that beautiful spirit of calm resistance and awareness and education as opposed to picking up arms. Yeah.
Ooh, lay down your arms. Next, I wanted to explore the meaning of peace.
Okay.
Here we go.
Okay.
We're going to look at a couple of different interpretations of peace, which is a concept that transcends borders and cultures and can be expressed in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
Before we dive into modalities about how we practice peace individually, communally, relationally, let's explore how different cultures approach peace. I found, it's three again, y'all.
The threes are working.
It's a theme.
Yeah, three is beautiful.
One expression or meaning of peace that I found was communal well-being. In African cultures, peace is often intertwined with the community's well-being. Peace extends beyond the absence of conflict to encompass harmony, unity, and cooperation among community members.
Oh, yes, please.
Please. I like that version of peace.
That feels very comprehensive and supportive of all participants.
All participants. That's
all members equally cared for and equally contributing. Yeah.
Two, healing and reconciliation. Peace is often seen as a process of healing and reconciliation among indigenous communities in North America.
Mm.
It involves addressing historical traumas. Mm-hmm. Pause real quick.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody know anything about a historical trauma,
mm-hmm.
indigenous people of North America, I think they got a lock on it.
You get to speak.
Yes.
You get to say what peace is.
So yes. It involves addressing historical traumas, restoring balance, and promoting understanding between different cultural groups.
Imagine having so much trauma laid on your culture, on your people, taking people down left and right, and you come back with, let's restore balance. Okay. You are definitely plugged into something
way
bigger
than this ego and selfishness that'll be like, yes. Oh, remember that time that you did that thing to me? We at war now.
Right. Exactly.
Forever.
Come back with, how do we restore balance? And then what was the second part of the phrase? Restore balance.
Promoting understanding between different cultural groups.
And then reach across the aisle. Like, let's restore balance.
Mm.
And then let's see how we can all get along. Even though you just did these things.
Very horrible things.
Many years. Horribly. Traumatically.
Generationally.
Mm.
And number three, balance and order. In traditional Japanese culture, peace, or I'm going to mess this up and I meant to listen to it, haiwa, is associated with harmony, balance, and order, and encompasses the idea of mutual respect and cooperation. The Japanese interpretation of peace also reflects the aesthetic principles of simplicity, tranquility, and symmetry. Harmony, balance, and order. Mutual respect and cooperation.
Those are the pieces. Those are good components. I like that. It's funny because that angle, that cultural view brings to mind all of the Eastern traditions of yoga and the idea of simplicity and not having clutter around you and just having this flow of air and energy. Yeah, I love that.
I think culturally sometimes we confuse or mosh together simplicity with ease.
We hear
simplicity and think, oh, well, that's easy. No.
No, it has to be very intentional.
Ooh.
And it takes action. It takes a commitment.
Lot. Intention. Hmm. Peace is not a one-size-fits-all solution, but a dynamic and adaptable idea shaped by different societies' values, beliefs, and experiences. I'd be curious to hear how our explorers define peace. Like, what does peace mean to you?
Whether it's on an individual level of your own peace of mind, surroundings, community, communal level, global, world peace level, tribal, familial level. Yeah, there's so many interpretations and ways to embody peace.
Mm-hmm.
I would be curious to hear those comments, our explorers.
Yeah.
Please let us know.
Okay, so we've discussed a couple of cultural interpretations of peace. Let's talk about how we as individuals can cultivate peace within ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
One way or a combination of ways is mindfulness and meditation. Tara and Karen are talking about mindfulness meditation.
Like, what on earth? Where did that come right out of left field? Can you even believe it? So the idea of becoming present, the concept of mindfulness and being in the present moment, is so powerful. And every time that I'm aware that I'm not there and I bring myself back to it, things shift in an amazing fashion. And all of a sudden things become clear and they become simple and they become so nurturing and life-affirming. You know, the idea of being present. This is the only moment we have.
Mm-hmm.
The past is over there. I don't know. I'm not going to do anything about it now. The future hasn't happened. Not guaranteed. And worry and those things that go along with worry, anxiety, and any of those emotions are worthless because none of it is
not a good use
real.
Of energy.
So being in this moment, which is the only thing we have, will ultimately bring you a sense of peace if you're paying attention.
Karen dropped the mic on that.
Well, I just put my 2 cents in there. Okay.
Number two, another Karen favorite, time in nature.
These are all my sweet spots because you see, nature is like the great equalizer. Things are just going and getting figured out and they're in cycles and it just feels natural and makes sense. And nature is looking at us going, what are they doing over there? What are these? Oh, these humans. Oh my God. What are they doing now? And the trees are all like, yeah, man, we're just growing. Sometimes we have leaves. Sometimes we don't. Our leaves are now fertilizing the earth. Isn't that cool? And it's all working together. And nobody's trying to control it fix it, or move it, or damage it.
Nature knows what to do.
Nature is intelligence, brilliance,
beauty.
Yeah.
So whether it's walking in the park, hiking in the mountains, or simply sitting in your garden, connecting with nature can be incredibly grounding and soothing. That quieting of your mind is what can foster your sense of peace.
And if you have trouble, my friends, getting to that place, here's a little trick for you. Go somewhere in nature, even if it's in your backyard, and take off your shoes and let your feet be on the ground, or even sit on the ground. Just notice, what do you hear around you? If your eyes are closed, like, what do you see light coming through? What do you see? What do you smell? All of the senses. And just allow the earth energy to come up, ideally through the soles of your feet, and just connect with the earth and breathe. Mm. It'll get you there, like in 30 seconds.
It's like a pizza delivery commercial. 30 seconds or less, you're going to be at peace. Another way to cultivate peace within ourselves is through compassion and forgiveness.
There's so many times we have this internal conflict, this war going on, and we talk so meanly and negatively to ourselves. And then that just leaks out and gets on other people, and it's blah, it feels lucky, and it's not good. But if you can get a sense of calming that and just being graceful, just be kind to yourself. Notice how you're talking to yourself. Notice the words you're using. Notice the tone that you're using. Notice how it feels in your body. And just cut yourself a break.
Please.
Compassion, grace, forgiveness. We are all works in progress. Nobody's got it figured out. We're just doing what we can do.
So that compassion and forgiveness leads to greater emotional resiliency.
Yeah.
And inner harmony.
I love that. Yeah, because if you're nurturing yourself from the inside out, anything can happen outside of you, and you can weather that. That's resilience, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what's going on externally, because inside you have that pool of peace, and nobody's going to mess with that.
Thank you for setting me up so nicely. Oh, for me, inner peace is a deep spiritual well-being and contentment rooted in my faith, emphasizing love, forgiveness, and compassion. Inner peace amid life's challenges and uncertainties through prayer and scriptural guidance. So understanding that my inner peace is a result of harmony with my faith, a relationship with God, and loving other people. Like, that's it. That's all. So whatever's going on outside, okay, cool. Let me check in with myself and my creator. Let's see where we are. Oh, we fine.
Because we're on a different yes. vibrational level. We're over here, and this helps us learn and grow. It gives us an awareness. These external factors cannot touch the sanctity, the sacredness of your wholeness and your connection, if you're feeling it and desire it, your connection to the big picture, to like the universe. Nothing can, there's no middle person. Nothing can interfere with that unless you allow it. Mm. That's the vigilance.
Vigilance. I'm a peace vigilante.
Oh! Peace vigilante.
I see something that is not peaceful. Wah, wah, wah. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about cultivating peace in relationships and communities. We're starting internal, and then we're going out a little bit broader, and then we'll go globally. Cultivating
inside peace.
Inside
is where it starts, right?
Inside job. You know, that's our hashtag. Yep. It's the inside job. In relationships, peace fosters trust, understanding, and harmony. Trust, understanding, and harmony.
Capital T, trust.
That's it. In these peaceful relationships, individuals can communicate openly and healthily resolve conflicts.
Because there's no threat.
We are not going to get in each other's way when it comes to what someone needs for their own inner peace.
Like, who am I to tell you, no, this is what you need to do, Tara?
Like, I'm just trying to get out of my own way from inner peace. Why do I got time to get in your way?
None of us do.
Peace encourages cooperation, inclusivity, and social cohesion among communities. Peace is a cornerstone of stability and progress.
I really believe that peace is a direct output of the input of love. Like, right? The big love and also self-love. You start from there and peace will just flow. Yeah.
So what are some ways that we can cultivate peace in relationships and communities? Got three for you again. Oh, here we go.
One, two, three.
Trifecta.
Uno, dos, tres.
Conflict resolution training. We have to get better at resolving conflicts. Healthily resolve conflicts.
Can we just go back to kindergarten on this one? Right?
I don't know, because some of us didn't get it right then either. We can provide resources and workshops to teach community members constructive ways to resolve conflicts and disagreements peacefully.
Don't come at me with your aggressive, negative, angry, like you're holding a knife kind of energy. Don't come at me with that, because then I'm going to have to put up.
My favorite ism is, do not come for me unless I've sent for you.
Oh, I love that.
If I didn't send for you, don't come for me. Sounds so simple.
Communication, right? Boils down to teaching people how to communicate, because then there's no misunderstandings. There's no my version, your version. We're just talking it out, working together, and being cool about it.
Mm-hmm. Number two, collaborative decision making. Involving community members in the decision-making process to ensure that diverse voices are heard and considered. So this is not just community, but also in relationship. If you in a relationship, which it don't have to be romantic, but any relationship, can you involve other people in the process so they're not being voluntold? When we feel like we contribute, we're more invested in the successful outcome.
Right. And if more voices are being heard, then more people are invested in the holistic outcome. Doesn't that just feel like A plus B equals C? Why wouldn't we do that? If we have all these diverse peoples with all these why wouldn't we consider everyone and collaborate, come together? Talk it out. Nobody's going to get hurt just by talking, just by working together.
Number three, mediation services. Providing access to trained mediators who can facilitate peaceful resolutions in disputes and promote understanding among conflicting parties. I love a mediator. A neutral third party to come in and be like, well, this is this and this is this. Here is where the synergy is. There is synergy. Awesome. Let's do that.
I feel like if that's an actual job, they should be getting $1 million. If somebody's good at that, being able to see two sides, hear both sides and bring it together and find the overlap and find the connection and be able to work from there.
Why not pay them what they're worth? All right. I don't know who we need to write to about mediator pay increases, but somebody.
Oh, man. I love it.
Okay, let's go even bigger. Let's talk about cultivating global peace.
We're building on the inner peace. Mm-hmm. We're building on the relationship, communal, community peace. And now we're just bringing it out a little bit larger.
Yeah.
It's all the same. It's all just the same. Take it away, Tara.
But as you said that, I realized that any of these methodologies or modalities can be applied. So if you are talking about your interpersonal, your intra within you, like getting your self-talk in alignment, you might need a mediator in the form of a coach or a therapist.
Yes. To check you on that.
Mm-hmm. We have two parties that are, let's see, polarized. Let's just be really nice about that. Yeah. Let's go outside. Let's talk about this thing outside. That little nugget just popped in my head. I was like, oh, wait. We can apply these anywhere. Okay, so 100%. Global peace. Fell down a hole and found this thing called the Global Peace Index.
There's an index for everything.
According to the Global Peace Index, Iceland was ranked the most peaceful country in the world in 2008. And y'all, it's 2024 and they still holding that title.
Well,
I mean, if I had Aurora Borealis, I might be a little peaceful too.
Since 2008, they're holding that title.
Number one.
Get going to Iceland, I guess.
Yes, we are. If you hear recording live from the Aurora Borealis, we're in Iceland.
We're going to be talking about Iceland.
Yeah. No, 2008.
Like 16 years. Way to go, Iceland.
It's a pretty big report. I did not go into it. I'm not going through all of it. But lucky for us, they have at the beginning key findings, which are results and trends and the economic impact of violence and war in the 21st century. Ooh. I'm not going into the economic impact or war in the 21st century because gross. Two trends.
She said, because gross.
Gross. Two trends.
That like, that's so gross. Totally. It's gross.
I wanted to highlight. It's going to sound a little doom and gloom, but don't worry. There's hope. The world has become less stable in the past 17 years with substantial increases in political instability, number of conflicts, and deaths from conflicts and violent demonstrations. Number two. However, the increase in global violence has been accompanied by a stronger commitment to UN peacekeeping operations, which recorded the biggest improvement of all Global Peace Index indicators.
Okay, so you're saying humans got to break it down hard to do something good.
Yes, and it's, like, it's got to go all the way wrong.
All the way down.
Before we get it together and be like, well, maybe there's a better way to do this.
We'll try this.
Give peace a chance. Ain't that a song?
that is the song. All we're saying.
Yeah. So there are a variety of global challenges to cultivating peace. Like I said, the political instability, also economic inequality and proliferation of weapons, blah, 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 blah.
So many things.
But on the flip side of that, as identified in the key trends, there are opportunities for cultivating peace everywhere. Advancements in technology enable better communication and understanding among diverse populations. There are platforms where people can connect and amplify each other's voices.
You get more than a couple people doing the same kind of work.
One of my favorite global opportunities is the growing youth movements and activism for positive social change. Y'all, the kids tired.
Yeah, they're like, get it together.
Why can't you grown-ups?
They're like, what is wrong with you people?
Didn't y'all tell us this is how we supposed to be? And look at you.
Do as just I say. Just a hot mess you are, you grown-ups.
Just really ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Another global opportunity for cultivating peace is the empowerment of women in marginalized communities for inclusion in peace-building efforts.
Get the women in there.
Where the women go, that's where the culture... And know what Felicia Rashad said in that thing I sent you?
Yeah, I was like, wait, I just heard that recently.
Yes. Yeah. Where the women go, the culture follows.
Women set the tone for what's acceptable and what's not and what's peaceable, right? And what's healing and nurturing.
Ooh. Mm.
Yeah.
I feel like I might as well just get on to a dance because I don't even.
Yes.
I feel like there's nothing. I could have kept going, but I'm like, that feels real good.
I do just want to point out that I am really excited about a potential shift of power.
Yeah, we gonna play this song, y'all.
It's a Lenny Kravitz song. It's called We Want Peace. Let's dance it out.
Check out this week's song on the Yo Podcast playlist on Spotify.
Yes, sir, Lenny. Oh, that's a great song. I actually was not familiar with that song.
Me either. I didn't listen to it all the way through when I found it.
I loved it, loved it. That chanting in the middle.
So
like,
much. That was fun.
Yeah, it was really good.
We want peace and we want it bad.
Peace. Stat.
ASAP.
We get a little giddy after we dance. And
that's what happens.
Feels so good when you get in your body, doesn't it? Mm.
All right. What's time for our question of the day? Here we go.
Okay.
How can education and awareness contribute to fostering a culture of peace on the International Day of Peace and beyond?
Education and awareness. I mean, first of all, we just got to start educating people. We just got to start talking about it. We just got to start about talking about the option of peace, of mediation, and of collaboration, and teaching it to our children at a young age. How to work together, how to talk together, how to move toward peace.
That education, we talked a little bit about conflict resolution and mutual understanding, empowers individuals to become advocates for peace. So maybe I'm not a peace vigilante. Maybe I'll just be a peace advocate.
Yeah.
Hmm. And when we raise awareness about the impact of violence and the benefits of peaceful coexistence, we can inspire individuals to contribute to building a more peaceful world. Doesn't this just feel better when we're at peace?
Right. Like, right? You feel that, right? You feel how good that feels? That feels
Isn't that
real good.
Lovely? Doesn't yeah. this feel nice?
Let's do that.
A little bit more of that.
Let's stay there.
Awareness looks like supporting human rights efforts, working towards resolving conflicts through nonviolent means, personally, communally, and globally. These tools, education, and awareness are powerful and can significantly create a more peaceful and harmonious global community.
We've said it before, and we'll say it again. We are all the same. I don't care which part of the planet you're on. We're all the same. We're all built out of the same energy and protons.
Same stardust.
Neurons and all the fun things. I want to recommend the book called Nonviolent Communication, which is really, really impactful for both for the talking to yourself piece, but also like your closer relationships. Because if you can get that right in a good place, then that's your practice ground. That's your home base you're practicing. And then you bring those skills and techniques and that feeling out into the world and mm-hmm. operate from that place. Once you practice it and it becomes part of your chemistry, part of your biology, part of the way you present in the world and the way you interact with the world and other people, then people learn from that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Ooh, be the change. Mm-mm-mm. Originally, I had a quote from Dr. Martin Luther King. Okay. We'll use it somewhere else for something else. I was on the socials this morning and a new quote. And I was like, well, this is just even more perfect.
Great. Can't wait to hear it.
This quote is from Vex King, an international best-selling author, social media content creator, and mind coach. I'll be real transparent. I don't even know what a mind coach is, but okay. What's a mind coach? Is it like a life?
I would say it's like a mindset kind of life coach, like the NLP that we were talking about before. How to work with your mind to be your best self and achieve things.
All right. Or one of his books is Good Vibes, Good Life. I mean, that's enough. The quote is, I realized that my peace wasn't something to be given or taken away by others' actions or words. It was mine to choose, to cultivate, to protect. This choice doesn't mean becoming a doormat. It's a conscious decision to stand in your power without letting external conflict disrupt your inner harmony. By aligning with your spiritual values, you honor your truth and maintain your integrity without engaging in a battle that would only take you further from the unconditional love, joy, and peace at your core.
Did you not just say before, this is what's happening? I don't know what else is going on, but nothing's going to disturb this core right here.
This is it.
Oh, that was great. I can't wait to post that. We need to repost that too.
Yes.
That's excellent. Nice.
As we wrap up, I wanted to remind explorers that the connection between peace and joy is profound and multifaceted. When individuals, nations, and communities experience peace, it creates environments where individuals can thrive, pursue their aspirations, and find joy in their daily lives.
Right, because when you feel safe, you can trust that that's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, you can bring all of yourself and be everything that you are.
Yes. International peace fosters a sense of security, stability, and hope, which is essential for cultivating global joy.
Global joy. Can we just have a global dance party, please?
Oh, gosh, that'd be so much fun.
Oh, let's do it.
It's so much fun. The International Day of Peace calls on us to embrace diverse interpretations and work towards a world where peace is not just an ideal, but a reality for all. Each of us has the power to contribute to a culture of peace through our actions, words, and commitment to dialogue and understanding. We hope this episode inspires you to cultivate peace in your life and communities. Thank you for joining us in exploring and celebrating the International Day of Peace. Let's continue to sow the seeds of peace for a more peaceful and compassionate world.
Let's keep our minds open and those peace pathways nurtured. Thanks for joining us. Take good care, explorers. We'll check you next time.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you to Queenie's in downtown Durham for the use of their community podcast studio and for welcoming us so warmly each week. We'd like to give a shout out to Coco Cinnamon, the birthplace of 1023 Media and the Yo Podcast. Please support your local women-owned, minority-owned coffee shop in downtown Durham. Brought to you by Durham-based 1023 Media, a heart-centered, woman-owned multimedia company.